Izzy, how's the network now? Can you hear my voice? Please, can you hear me clearly? Okay. Where are the rest? Oh, what about David? He said, "Where is he?" That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Can you hear the voice? Can you hear the song? And can you hear my voice clearly? Ready for the shepherd's camp. Who is ready for the shepherd's camp? Where are the rest? All I gotta do is Liposhkatadigadaba. Liposhkatadimradakedebrashkatadaba. La Padu. Le Kroshka Tadibrande Gedebedevashka Dabrata Dibra. Ita Dabara Boshka Dabrata Dabrata Dabrata. Mind my calmness tonight. I'm just excited about the shepherd's camp. Are your notebooks ready? This is a lecture. Before we start, please understand that this is a lecture. Get your notebooks ready. I have a lot to share with you tonight. My God. But I think, how many people am I supposed to expect here tonight? Beatrice, how many people am I supposed to expect tonight? Because I only see 10 people. I think there are about 8 or 9 people who are still not here yet. If you miss more than 2 classes, you are out. Please, this is not just any preaching. This is a training. And so if you don't go through the training, you can't come out of it. And so when you miss 2, you are out of here. There are 8 people who are not here yet. There are 8 people who are not here yet. You see, when we talk about a camp, a camp is a place with temporary accommodation of huts or tents or other structures typically used by soldiers, refugees, or traveling people. Are you with me? A camp is a place of temporary accommodation. A camp is a temporary situation. A camp is a temporary place. It is not a permanent place. It is a place that you stay temporary to go through something. Are you here? Okay, so now when we talk about the shepherd's camp, who is a shepherd? A shepherd is a member of the clergy or a member of spiritual people who provides spiritual care and spiritual guidance for a congregation or a group of people. So a shepherd is somebody who is a spiritual man or a spiritual woman who provides spiritual guidance or spiritual care for a group of people. So the very moment you get to a place in your spiritual walk or in your walk with Christ where you know that now you are providing spiritual guidance to people, you are inviting people to church, you are ensuring that people are participating in the spiritual things of God, you are now a shepherd. Is somebody with me? So, simply put, if you have ever invited anybody into a church meeting, if you have ever ensured that the pastor said we should fast, if you have ever ensured that somebody fasted, if you have ever seen to it that somebody was a part of a spiritual gathering, then you are already playing the role of a shepherd. A shepherd is simply somebody who provides spiritual care or spiritual guidance to a group of people or even just one person. So in the carnal world, a shepherd is somebody who leads the flock, who leads the sheep. If you have ever led a sheep to a place to drink water or fed a sheep, then you are playing the role of a shepherd. So when we meet here, and when we meet here as a group of people calling ourselves or calling this program the Shepherd's Camp, this is just a temporary series of programs or lessons that have been spiritually put together that you can go through it to make yourself better in the kingdom of God. It is that simple. Are you with me? The last time that we did the same program, last year, I called it the Shepherd's Training. And then it was on WhatsApp and it was awesome. I trained about 7 or 8 people. And these guys came out better. And some of them, not all, but some of them are still doing better until now. I think I need to appreciate our first graduate from the Shepherd's Training. Elsie Oche, Opoku Paul, Beatrice, Angie. Now Elsie is the chairperson of this ministry. Opoku Paul is my associate pastor, and Beatrice is the head of the Shepherds. Now I trained about 8 or 7 people, and about half of them have already left me. But these guys are still around. Liko shata di badaha. Liko romatashka da broshka da brata di bata. Liko shkata la brata la brata. Now, as we are going through this camp, I am going to give you guys about 7 or 8 powerful lessons that every shepherd or every leader needs to understand. When we say you are a shepherd in the kingdom of God, you are simply a leader. A shepherd is a leader. A leader is a shepherd. It's that simple. Don't confuse it. When we call you a shepherd, we mean you are a leader. But I think the word leader is too common these days, so I prefer the term shepherds. Wonderful. So our first lesson tonight is making the decision. Somebody say making the decision. Listen, I need you to write down as much as you can, because these lessons will not be uploaded anywhere. When we are done, it's over. So I need you to write as much as you can. Making the decision. I appreciate you for registering to be a member of this Shepherd's Camp. And I believe you are going to have an awesome time together. Father Lord, as we are about to begin, Father, take over this camp in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Shout amen. If you have been called as a leader in the kingdom of God, then there is a decision that you must take. If you have been called as a leader in the kingdom of God, I repeat, there is a decision that you must and you need to take. Hear me. And let me repeat this. If anybody misses 2 of the lessons, the person is out. Please. With all due respect, this is a training. Because there are 7 lessons. If you miss 2, you are out. Okay. This is a training for leaders. If you are going to be a leader, you have to be disciplined. You cannot be a leader and be acting as the rest of the congregation, because a leader carries a responsibility. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 20 verse 16, turn your Bibles with me. Matthew chapter 20 verse 16, the Bible said, "So the last will be the first, and the first last." Now, what does the Bible mean by saying this? the last will be the first and the first will be the last. What is the Bible saying? Doesn't mean that if I struggle to be the first someday, there is also coming a time that I'll be the last. Is that what the Bible is saying? No. Matthew chapter 20 verse 16. The Bible said the last will be the first and the first will be the last. What does this mean? This means that when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to any spiritual gathering, any spiritual community, it doesn't matter who came first, it doesn't matter who registered first, it doesn't matter who was involving or engaged first. It is not first come, first serve in the kingdom of God. Please understand. That is what this scripture means. In the kingdom of God, it is not first come, first serve. When you go to the bank to withdraw money, that is first come, first serve. When you go to the bank to make inquiries, that is first come, first serve. When you enter into a school or anything of that sort to make inquiries, it is first come, first serve. But in the kingdom of God, that rule does not apply. So do not make a mistake into thinking that you became a member of prayer life first and so you will be served first. Do not make a mistake into thinking that you became a member of any spiritual community first and so you will be served first. No, it's not true. And also do not make a mistake into thinking that you came last and so you'll be served last. It doesn't matter. In the kingdom of God, it doesn't matter who became born again first. You can be born again today. I can be born again next week. And yet God will use me greater than he will use you. That is what it means. That the last will be the first and the first will be the last. That is to say that first come, first serve is not a principal idea in the kingdom of God. Please listen to me carefully. This is a lecture. Matthew chapter 20 verse 16. The Bible now said, "For many are called, but few are chosen." The Bible said many are called, but only few are chosen. Now, when you think about it, the Bible didn't say that all are called. The Bible didn't say that everybody is called. The Bible didn't say that every Christian is called. Do not be mistaken. The Bible only said that many are called. Many are called. Many are called. Not all. That is the reason we have over 100 and we have about 150 people on the WhatsApp page, and yet we have only 19 people being a part of the shepherd's camp, because it is not everybody who is called. It is only many that are called. So, how do you know that you are called of God? Nanajua. How do you know that you are called of God? You see, some of you need to understand some things. Some of you think that being called as a Christian is that you have to stand behind the pulpit and preach. Some of you think that being called means that you have to be a preacher or a prophet or an apostle. No, that is not what a calling means. If somebody with me. Because some of you are asking yourself, that man of God, I am not a prophet. Man of God, I am not an apostle. Man of God, I am not an evangelist. So how come you are telling me I am called? How am I called? AC, you are asking yourself. How am I called? Adua, you are asking yourself. How am I called? Eugenia, you are asking yourself. How am I called? How am I called? Because if I am not supposed to be a prophet, if I'm not supposed to be an apostle, then Lord, how am I called? Because I don't understand. These are the things that the men of God do not spend time to explain to the church today. Because if you just tell somebody that, do you know you have the calling of the Lord on your life, and you do not explain what that thing means, then they will think that what you mean is that they have been called to stand behind the pulpit and preach. And that is not entirely correct. Are you following? Are you following? So what I am saying is that a calling doesn't mean that you have to stand behind the pulpit. A calling doesn't mean that you have to be in the office of the prophet. A calling doesn't mean that you have to be in the office of an apostle. No. A calling is simply a desire. Somebody say desire. 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 A calling is simply a desire. I am teaching things. Listen, I am teaching things. If you do not write these things down, I am repeating. None of these lessons will be uploaded. These lessons will not be uploaded. So please write as much as you can write. When we tell you that you have the calling of God over your life, it simply means that the Lord has placed within you a desire to do something for God. Some of you, your calling is to sponsor the ministry of God. Some of you, your calling is to be a counselor to marriages. Some of you, your calling is just to be somebody that invites people to church. Somebody that sees to it that people are doing well in the kingdom of God. A calling doesn't mean that you have to be a prophet. A calling simply means that God has placed inside you a desire to do something for the kingdom of God. Some of you, your calling is simply cleaning the churches and seeing to it that the church is tidy for worship. Some of you, your calling is just ushering in church. Some of you, your calling is seeing to it that you are blessing the lives of these children in the Sunday school, buying gifts for them. That could simply be your calling. So please, when we tell you have the calling of God over your life, it doesn't mean that God is calling you to come and be a teacher of the word. Follow carefully. I am preaching from Matthew chapter 20 verse 16. And the first will be the last, and the last will be the first. In the kingdom of God, first come, first serve doesn't work. It is not a principal ideology. It is not true. It doesn't matter who came first. Anybody can overtake you. It doesn't matter who registered first. Anybody can overtake you. It doesn't matter who got saved first. Anybody can overtake you. It doesn't matter the position you are holding. Anybody can overtake you. That is how it works. Now, when we jump to Matthew chapter 22 verse 14, the Bible repeated the same thing. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. So what is the difference between a calling and a choosing? What is the difference between a calling and a choosing? Can you hear me? Okay. Liko shada katabala volo shkalabrata. Can you hear me? The network is very poor, I know, but can you hear me? Liko shakalabrata liba. Liko shkalabrata la gadablo shkalabrata. Okay. Okay, so let's continue. So now I ask myself, Matthew chapter 20 verse 16, the Bible says the same thing, that many are called but few are chosen. And the same Matthew chapter 22 verse 14, the Bible repeats the same thing, that many are called but few are chosen. Whenever the Bible repeats something like this, it means that it is of massive significance. It is of massive significance. So please understand, a calling is simply a desire. You see, some of you, are you here with me? Are you here with me? Some of you, Hello, are you here? Okay. Ask yourself that nobody forced you to be a part of this shepherd's camp. Nobody forced you to be a part of this shepherd's camp. So ask yourself that, how is it that you all of a sudden found your way in here and you found yourself registering to be a part of it? The desire that you had in you to make you register and go through the procedure to be here means that you have a calling. That desire that pushed you to register to be a part of it, that desire that pushed you to be present in tonight's lesson, that desire that got you on your feet to be a partaker, is what the Bible calls a calling. So listen, the calling of God is not something no. The calling of God is simply a desire. It's simply a desire. Liko shata di bana groska telebraka. Maka shoto do groska de branta de maka. Ipo do go do bodo boska de branta di do boska de branta de maha. It's simply a desire that the Lord has placed in you. First Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You can replace the word minister with shepherd. Now think about it. The Bible said that you will be a good shepherd of Jesus Christ. It means that there are a lot of shepherds. Some are good, others are bad. Because the Bible didn't say that you will be a good, the Bible didn't say that you will be a shepherd of Jesus Christ. The Bible said you will be a good shepherd of Jesus Christ. It means that there are bad shepherds of Jesus. And so if you have the desire in you, there is a need for you to go through a training. There is a need for you to go through this shepherd's camp so that you can graduate as a good shepherd of Jesus Christ, not a bad shepherd of Jesus Christ. So according to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse the number 6, there are good shepherds and there are bad shepherds. I trained a number of shepherds last year. By the end of the year, I saw some to be good and I saw some to be bad. I saw some who had even left their job. So there are good shepherds and there are bad shepherds. If you are going to be a good shepherd, then you must go through a training. You must go through a program that will bring you to a place where it could be said of you that you are a good shepherd. Since this is a lecture, let me move on to the next slide. There are hindrances to our callings. There are hindrances to our desires in the kingdom of God. Are you following? If you believe you have a desire in you, now I have already explained what a calling is. I have already explained what a calling is, so you don't have to ask me, man of God, do I still have a calling? By now, based on the things that I have taught you by now, you need to know. I believe you must know that you have the calling or you don't. There are hindrances to the callings of the saints. Remember, the Bible said many are called, few are chosen. Why is it that many are called and yet only few are chosen? The reason is that the many who are called, it is not all of them who are able to make the decision. Listen, many are called and yet few are chosen. And the reason this is so is because it is not everybody who is called that is able to make the decision. What do I mean by make the decision? What I mean is that it is not everybody who is able to make up their minds to go through the trainings they must go through. It is not everybody who is able to make up their minds to allow themselves to be taught by an elder. It is not everybody who is able to make up their minds in order to learn at the teachings of another. Can somebody hear me? Okay. The first hindrance to your calling. The first hindrance to your calling. The first hindrance to your calling is that many people do not know that they are leaders. First hindrance is that many people do not know that they are leaders or shepherds. The network is very poor. I know. But we have to go through the lesson. We have to. The first hindrance to our calling. Are you here? Can you hear me? Okay. I said point number one. The first hindrance to our calling is that many people do not know that they are leaders or they are shepherds. Many people do not know because nobody has ever told them. Nobody has taken the time to teach them these things that I am teaching you. Now, how do I know that I have the calling? How do I know that I have the calling? Taking my time because I need you guys to understand these things. And you are going to need this to progress through this camp. How do I know that I have the calling? Number one, that is when you get a mentor or somebody, a man of God who is higher than you in these things to teach you. Some of you do not know that you even have the ability to lead. The reason you do not know is because nobody has taken the time to teach you. If you do not know what a calling is, if you do not understand what a calling is, how can you be a leader? Or how can you come out as a shepherd? It cannot be because you don't even understand what a calling means. Some people think that only a few people are born to lead, and that is not true. There are so many people on earth who have been birthed to lead. You see, the very moment you sense a hunger for the things of God, the very moment you sense a desire for the things of God, to be involved in the things of God, to be a partaker in the things of God, that is your calling. Ask yourself why that whenever you enter into a church building and something is not right there, you want to correct it. You have this desire from within you that this thing that is going on, you are not excited about it. And you want to do something in your power to correct that thing that is wrong in the church. The reason you are having that burning sensation is because of the desire or the calling the Lord has placed in your life. So, the first hindrance to your calling is that you do not know that you are a leader. If you ever yield yourself to the ministry of Jesus Christ, then it means that you are a leader. If you already submit yourself to the authority of Jesus Christ, it means that you are a leader. You are a leader. Being a leader is not for some people. No. You can be a leader wherever you are. You can be a leader in that same place that you are. You can be a leader in that same school that you are in. You can be a leader in that same classroom. You can be a leader wherever you find yourself to be. You are a leader. You do not need somebody to keep telling you this. Just because of that inner tenacity that always keeps you on the verge of prayer, that always bears within you. If you are not reading your Bible, that thing that the Lord has placed in you, that keeps you on your toes, that thing is what we call a calling. Are you okay? Are you okay with what I'm teaching? Maka shidi broska da brata le baka di bata le braka shida de bede ge de broska tara bada boka da brate. The second hindrance is that people fear that they will be accused or hated. Haloka shaka tara braka. The second hindrance to your calling is that you fear that you will be accused and hated. Listen. If you fear that you will be accused and hated, then definitely this will stand in the way of your calling. Listen, if you are going to be a leader, if you are going to be a great leader, then you need to understand that people will not like you. I am a man of God, and I don't recall doing anybody wrong. I don't recall doing anybody, any man of God anywhere, doing them any wrong, or fighting or firing some arrows at them. I don't remember doing anything like that. I don't recall doing anything like that. And yet, even in my own space, there are people who make it a point to still hate me. There are people who make it a point to dislike me. There are people who make it a point to stand in the way of my ministry. And why do you think I go through these things that I go through? Why do you think I suffer these things that I suffer? I suffer these things not because I am special, but I suffer these things because I am a leader. A leader suffers things. A leader goes through things. A leader has to endure a lot of things that the rest of the congregation cannot endure. So if you fear that you go through the dislike of people, if you fear that you go through the rejection of people, the betrayal, the disappointment, then you cannot be a leader, because these things stand in the way of your calling. Jenny, let me tell you something. If you are going to be a leader, then people are going to dislike you. You see, when I finally accepted my call as a man of God, that when I lost all my friends, everybody left me. Everybody left my life. They didn't want to be a part of my life. They were just done with me. And that is the cross that you have to bear. Let me read Luke chapter 14 verse 26 to you. If anyone comes to me, Luke 14, 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Are you with me? This is Jesus speaking. This is not even any of the apostles. This is not even any of the disciples. This is not even Paul. No. Jesus is saying that if anyone comes to me and that person doesn't hate his father and mother. Now, what does Jesus mean by hating your father and mother? This scripture does not mean that to be with Christ, you must hate your parents. No. What this scripture means is that if your parents decide to stand in the way of your calling, you must learn to sideline them. If your wife stands in the way of your calling, you must learn to sideline her. If your children stand in the way of your calling, you must learn to sideline her. If your siblings, your brothers, your sisters stand in the way of your calling, you must learn to sideline them. Because if you do not do it, if you are not able to do it, then you cannot be a shepherd. That is what Jesus is saying. He didn't say you cannot be a Christian. You can be a Christian, but you can never be a leader or a shepherd or a disciple. Because the disciples are the leaders. The disciples are not just part of the congregation. The disciples are the leaders. And so Jesus said, if you are not able to sideline all these people, then you cannot be a leader in my ministry. That is what Jesus is saying. And one beautiful thing that he said, if you are not even able to sideline your own personal life, what you do not understand is that your schooling is your personal life, your job is your personal life, the things you do, they are your personal life. The things you do with your hands, the things you do in life, these things are your personal life. And Jesus is saying, if you are not able to sideline these things and you allow those things to be or stand in the way of your calling, then you cannot be a shepherd. So if you keep on telling me, because of school, I cannot be joining any of these things. Because of classes, I cannot be joining any of these things. Because of work, I cannot be a participator. Because of whatever you do, you cannot be a part of it. It means you cannot be a disciple. Because a true disciple is he who understands that no matter what they are doing, they still need to make time for Jesus Christ and his ministry. And so I always tell you guys that if I start to list the things that I do, sometimes I even forget some of them. I said, by day, I am a prepaid vendor. I am a graphic designer. I am the administrator of my church. I am the PA of my spiritual father. I am the director of missions of my church. And I have a very busy schedule. I have a very busy schedule, and anything can happen at any time. And yet I still make time to come and teach and do these lessons with you. I do not do these lessons because I am free. I do these lessons because I make time. So when you tell me, because you have school, you cannot come to church. Because you have this, you cannot come to church. Because you have chores, you cannot come to church. It means that you cannot be a disciple, because a disciple is he who does all the things they need to do in real life, and they still make time to be with the Lord. Am I speaking to somebody? Most of you guys are students and some of you are workers, but I can tell you for a fact that you are not as busy as I am. Yes, especially the students, you graduate, you are not part. You are not as busy as I am. You are not as busy as I am. I am very, very busy. Very, very busy. So when you make time to be with the Lord, that it is only he that makes time to be with the Lord who can be called a shepherd. So, being here tonight, what you need to know, and say, said, if you cannot make time to go through these lessons with me, then it means that you are not ready to be a shepherd. Being a shepherd is not compulsory. Being a shepherd is a calling. That is why the Bible said, "It many are called, but only few are chosen," because most people cannot sideline their own personal life to be with the Lord. And until you learn to sideline all these things, you can never be a disciple, and so you cannot be part of the chosen. Let me move on. Verse 27, Luke chapter 14, verse 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Listen again. Disciples are not the same as Christians. Disciples are not the same as the congregation. Jesus is not saying, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be a Christian. No, he's saying cannot be a disciple, because disciples are the leaders. If you are going to be a leader, then doing these things and making these sacrifices are the cross that you must bear. It is a cross that you must bear. If we have evangelism and you are telling me you have chores so you cannot do it, if we are doing evangelism and you are telling me you have classes so you cannot do it, if we are doing evangelism and you are telling me your wife is pregnant so you cannot make it, that is what you are telling Jesus. And Jesus is saying, by the reason of your excuses, you cannot be a part of my leaders, you cannot be a part of my shepherds, you cannot be my disciple. You can be an okay Christian, you can be an okay congregant, but you cannot be a leader. That is what Jesus is saying. Let me move on to the third hindrance. People think that they are not good enough to be leaders. People think that they are not good enough to be leaders. And this thing is actually very important to me. People think that they are not good enough to be leaders. Listen, the only certification, hear me, and I want you to write this thing down. The only certification that you need to be a shepherd of the kingdom of God or a shepherd of Jesus Christ is your commitment. Oh, did somebody hear me? I said, the only certification that you need to be a part or a disciple of Jesus or a shepherd of Jesus is your commitment. When it comes to leaders, listen, some of you, when you are choosing leaders, you go for skills, you go for gifts, you go for talents, you go for those who can pray, you go for those who have the ability to do some things. Listen, these things are all wrong motives that you stand on to choose people. The only certification that you need to be a shepherd is your commitment. Listen, I am a prophet of God, but not even once have I gone for somebody because the person can prophesy. Not even once have I gone for somebody because the person has money. Not even once have I gone for somebody because, listen, if you check the people who are part of the executives, most of them are not even part of the partners or titles. You see, the titles and the partners of my ministry, they are the people who have decided to sponsor my ministry with their money. Nobody asked them for money. They have decided to sponsor the ministry with their money. But when I'm looking for leaders, I do not go for these people. We do not choose leaders based on their capabilities. We do not choose leaders based on their money. We do not choose leaders based on their bank accounts. No. That is a problem. That is a mistake. If you check the disciples that Jesus chose, the 12 disciples, not even one was rich. If you are going to have a solid team, you don't have to focus on money. You don't have to focus on giftings. Look for commitment. Search for commitment. For as long as people are committed, they can be molded into any shape. As long as people are committed, they can be molded into any shape. So the only thing that I need from shepherds today, the only thing that I need from leaders today is their commitment. Some of you, you think you are not good enough because you cannot prophesy like us. Some of you even feel some way because you think you cannot dress like us. Some of you think you cannot be a part of us because you don't drive the cars that we drive. Listen, we are not even looking for these things in you. The only thing that I am looking for is your commitment. Are you with me? Are you with me? Commitment, it beats everything. Listen, never think that because you cannot see into the realms like us, or because, listen, it doesn't matter. For as long as you are committed to the cause, you can be shaped into... Listen, before I accepted my call, many years ago, before I accepted my call, I was in the university. Listen, I first accepted my call in high school. Let me tell you this history. I first accepted my call in high school. And then I was on the call. I started reading my Bible. I was taking the things of God seriously. But after I left high school, I left the calling again. So I found the calling again a second time. And it was the second time that I have come this far. After the second time, I haven't gone back to my old life. I remember before I accepted my call, I didn't even know one scripture. And I am talking about my days in the university. Even, at least some of you right now, you can even give me scriptures and you can pray with scriptures. Some of you, I think everybody here is in a university. Or is either in a university or has graduated. When I accepted my call, even that day, I remember I was with Elsie. When I told her, I want to take the things of God seriously, she laughed. I remember I told her I want to be a preacher of the word. She was laughing. She was laughing at me. She said, you, oh my friend, let us think. She was laughing. Because I didn't even know one scripture. Hey, I was always messing up Jacob and Esau and Abraham. I didn't know which was which. I didn't know which one was the father. I was always messing up Jacob, Esau, Abraham. I didn't know. And I am talking about the university. Oh my God. You see, some of you, you do not know how far we have come. So that is why you feel like you are not good enough. You think you have to even speak in tongues first before you can qualify as a shepherd. It's not true. Some of you think you have to know scriptures by heart before you can be a shepherd. It's not true. The only certificate you need is your commitment. Your commitment. I didn't know anything when I said, God, this time I will take you seriously. I didn't know anything. That is why when I see my kid brother fooling about, I just watch him, because I have come through. I have come through from that level. The Lord has been good to me. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. So up till now, I don't like to use the real Bible. Up till now, I don't like to use the real Bible. Because opening the Bible was even a problem. I didn't know. If you tell me right now to open Habakkuk, Master, when we are 35 years, I'm going to share. We go home away. Habakkuk over. Malachi, we go home away. Esther, be now. I didn't know. I can't, my friend, I don't know. So me, you will never see me holding a Bible. If you, I won't know. And that's it. I am sharing these things with you so that you can understand that I am not perfect, and I am not preaching to you because I am perfect. I do not have a ministry because I am perfect. I have this because I have one thing, and that thing is commitment. So whenever you see me reading the Bible, I am reading the Bible from a screen. If you come to my room, you might not even find a real Bible. No, I don't have a Bible. And the Bible I have here, someone even gave it to me, and I don't open it. Whenever you see me reading the Bible, I'm reading the Bible from a screen. Whenever you see me reading the Bible, I'm either reading the Bible from my laptop or from my phone. And I'm always reading the Bible. I don't read from the book because I can't open it. I don't know where this is and where that is. So I'm telling you so that you will understand that God has called you not because you are perfect, but God has called you because He wants you to get committed to the cause. Most men of God will not share these things with you because they want you to see them as a mystery, but they are not. They are not mysteries. They are mortal men. They are just men with privileges. They are men. Men of God are men who have been privileged by God to stand in the place of a minister. You cannot prophesy and so what? You cannot pray for 1 hour and so what? You cannot preach like me and so what? You don't have to preach. Listen. Most of you do not know this, but one of the worst preachers in the Bible was Apostle Paul. One of the greatest preachers of the Bible was Apostle Peter. Peter was one of the greatest preachers. He could really preach. Peter was one of the greatest preachers. But one of the worst preachers was Apostle Paul. That is why most of his messages are in writings. Because he couldn't preach them. People are laughing at him. Are you with me? And yet, when you come to the New Testament, Paul wrote the greatest number of books in the New Testament. Because Paul was not a good preacher. He couldn't preach like us. He couldn't. Whenever Paul was preaching, people were laughing at him. Because, okay, cancer, yes, Paul, you don't know. I am telling you. That is why most of his messages are in writings. Because, Paul is not good. That is why Paul said, listen, I know I am not a man of the letter. I am not a man of theories. I am a man of power. You see, the people were laughing at him. They were always laughing at him. And he said, listen, when we preach, we do not preach the word as men who just come to read letters to you. We come to preach power. What Paul was saying was that, I don't care that I cannot preach like Peter. I don't care that I cannot preach like the other apostles. But I know that there is power in my preaching. Simple.
My God.
So listen, never think, oh Charlie, this job there is not for me. It's not for me because I cannot do this. I cannot do that. I cannot preach like this person. I cannot preach like Opoku Paul. I cannot preach like Great Sam, or I cannot sing like Great Sam. I cannot, listen, it doesn't matter. So that is why most of Paul's messages are in writings. And Paul wrote a letter to the church of Corinth. And Paul wrote a second letter to the church of Corinth. And Paul wrote a letter to the Philippians. And Paul wrote a letter. And why is Paul is writing a letter? Why is he not coming to preach to us? Why is he writing a letter? Because he cannot preach like the rest. Whenever he was preaching, it is in the Bible. This thing that I'm telling you, any idea who will be on my question, it is in the Bible. It is in the Bible. Paul said it himself. Whenever he was preaching, people were laughing at him. Because, what is this? He's not good. That is why I am telling you, even Paul, who couldn't preach, God had to use Paul to write the greater number of books in the New Testament. So you don't need to be a superhuman to be a leader. You don't have to be a superhuman to be a shepherd. The only thing you need is your commitment. Commitment. Make time. Make time. Make time when we have meetings on Mondays, make time when we have meetings on Thursdays, make time when we ask you to bring new people on board, make time and do it. Make time, make time, make time and do it. I know that most of you are not as busy as I am. I am supporting my father in his church, in his ministry. By the grace of God, I have become a pillar in the ministry of my spiritual father, and yet I am still overseeing my own ministry by the grace of God. How can a man do these things except Jesus is with him? Because when I check my schedules, there is no way I can do none of these things. When I check my schedules, when I check the way I am tired most of the time, when I check the way I have to run errands for my father, how can a man do these things except Jesus be with him? So never hang behind your periods, your times, and be saying I cannot be a part of you because work was stressful today, or school was stressful. Listen, you have to be committed. You have to be committed. So the third hindrance is that people think that they are not good enough to be leaders. Now, this is the last thing I want to speak on, and we're out of here. The last hindrance is that most people are too selfish to be leaders. Most people, selfishness is the last hindrance to being a shepherd. Selfishness is the last hindrance to being a shepherd. Such people care only about themselves. They are happy to have salvation. They are happy for the man of God to prophesy to them. They are happy to receive blessings and prayers from the man of God. They are happy to be promoted in the kingdom of God. But as long as it only comes to them, they never want those things to extend to outsiders. Listen, one of the greatest limitations of a man, is selfishness. A man who is self-centered, a man who is selfish, cannot enlarge his capacity. A man who is selfish cannot enlarge his territory. A man who is selfish cannot break limitations. A man who is selfish cannot open up himself to receive more because of selfishness. You see, selfishness is different from greed. Selfishness is different from greed. Greed is when you want everything to come to you. Greed is when you channel everything into your tank. Greed is when all the resources that everybody has is now stored in your belly. Greed is when you build up everything and store it all to yourself. You want everything, that even that which belongs to others, to be with you. That is greed. Now, selfishness, on the other hand, is when you want to keep the little that you have and never to share with anybody. You see, when somebody is selfish, they do not care about what you have. They do not even want to receive from what you have. They only want to keep what they have and never share with anybody. Greed, a greedy man wants what belongs to you, wants what belongs to her, wants what belongs to him, and keep it all to himself. That is greed. Selfishness is keeping the little that you have to yourself. Selfishness is that you have 50 cedis and you hide it all by yourself. You're not even willing to give 10 pesos out to the needy. That is selfishness. And so when you are selfish, you cannot grow. You cannot open up yourself to receive more. You cannot enlarge your territories. You cannot break boundaries and limitations because you are always glued to the little thing that you have. That is selfishness. Selfishness is when you are able to go to the university and now you have a degree and you do not want to teach anybody the process that you had to go through to get a degree. And so when we are talking about degree holders in the world, you are the only body who has a degree because you are not willing to share the process with anybody. That is selfishness. So most of you are selfish, and yet you do not know, because you come here day in, day out, and your lives are being transformed. Your lives are being blessed. The Lord is always with you. The Lord is ministering with you, and you are never willing to share that thing with anybody. We will tell you to invite new people on board so that they can also be partakers of the blessing, and yet you want you yourself to be the only one that has what you are getting. That is selfishness. That is selfishness. If you are going to excel in your calling, you have to do away with selfishness. You have friends, you work in a group of people, and all these people are there and they need the voice of God. They need the intervention of God. They need the salvation of God. And you are never absent from any of our teachings, and yet you are not willing to extend that same blessing on those people. It means that you are selfish. Why is it that when the flyers are released, you do not share with anybody? Why is it that when the links are released, you never share with anybody? Why is it that there is an upcoming program, you never share with anybody? It is simply because you are selfish, and you do not want those people to be partakers of the blessing and the manifestation of God. When you keep on doing that day in, day out, you realize that your calling begins to diminish, and the desire that keeps you going begins to diminish, and you realize that now you cannot go beyond where you have gotten to. You get stuck on one level, and you never graduate to the next level, simply because you are not willing to open yourself up. If you do not allow people to enjoy the things you are enjoying, if you never allow people to be partakers of the things that you are enjoying, then the Lord cannot bless you. And the blessings that you have already received stays there. So, let me go back. In the next 5 minutes, we'll be out of here. I told you, this is the Shepherd's Camp 2021. And tonight is the first lesson, making the decision. And I told you that a camp is a place with temporary accommodation that is used by people, soldiers, refugees. So when we gather here as a group of people in a camp, this is just a temporary program, a temporary accommodation that is arranged for a group of people to help you and project you to your next level. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 20 verse 16 that the last will be the first and the first will be the last. And I said that this simply means that in the kingdom of God, the ideology that first come, first serve does not work. First come, first serve does not work. In the kingdom of God, first come, first serve does not work. It doesn't matter who came first. God can use anybody. It doesn't matter who was saved first. God can use anybody. And I said, the Bible said, many are called and few are chosen. When the Bible says many are called and few are chosen, it means that it is not everybody who is called. It is only a few that are called. It is only, a group of people that are called. And amongst those who are called, only a few are chosen. And I explained to you that the reason only a few are chosen is because you must go through a series of training for God to build you up for the task. Until you allow yourself to go through it, then God cannot choose you. And so when just the fact that you are here to build up yourself for this task means that you are willing to go through it. So just because you are willing, you are already on your way to be a part of the chosen. I explained to you that a calling doesn't mean that you have to stand behind a pulpit and preach, but a calling means that God has placed a desire within you, and that desire that keeps on burning in you to be a part of the kingdom of God, to be a participator in the things of God, that desire is what we call a calling. Some of you, your calling is to support the work of God. Your calling is to build churches for God. Your calling is to sponsor the ministry of God. Your calling is to bring people to church. Your calling is to buy something for the church. Buy a car for the church. Your calling is to be a partaker of something in the church. A calling doesn't mean that you have been called to stand behind a pulpit. No. And I said there are hindrances to your calling. Four main hindrances to your calling. And the first hindrance is that many people do not know that they are leaders. Many people do not know that they are leaders. And the reason they do not know is because they have not allowed themselves for someone who is higher than them to take them through these trainings, to take them through this series. Because if you do not go through these things, how can you know you have a calling? If I do not explain to you that a calling is simply a burning sensation, a burning desire that the Lord has placed in you to do or to support in the church of God. How can you know that is what it takes to be a leader or a shepherd? The second hindrance is that people fear that they will be accused and hated. And I said, if you are going to be a leader, if you are going to be a great leader, then you need to know that you will be accused and you will be hated. We are not of this world. That is the cross that we have to bear. If you are going to be a leader, no matter how busy you are going to be in life, you must learn to set aside time to spend with the Lord, to be a partaker in the things of God. You cannot say because of your work, because of your school, because of your chores, because of any of those things, you cannot be a participator. No, that is wrong. If you are going to be in the kingdom of God, then you must set time apart to be with the Lord and to serve in His church. Third point, the third hindrance is that people think that they are not good enough to be leaders. And I have told you that to be a leader, you don't have to be a prophet. To be a leader, you don't have to be an apostle. To be a leader, you don't have to be anything. The only certificate that you need to be a leader is your commitment. Your commitment is the only certificate. God doesn't stand on giftings to choose you. God doesn't stand on abilities to choose you. God doesn't stand on money to choose you. Imagine Jesus, when he came on earth, he was choosing fishermen to follow him because of their commitment, not because of their capabilities. When you have to choose between commitment and capability will betray you a million times over, but commitment will stay loyal to you. And the last point is that people are too selfish. They do not want the blessings on their life to extend to others. They do not want the grace on their lives to extend to others. They do not want the breakthroughs they have received to extend to others. They do not allow themselves to be participators and to invite people to be part of it. They only want to join alone. They only want to receive alone. They only want to be prophesied to alone. At the very moment you have that ideology as a leader, you are already becoming selfish. And a man who is selfish, a woman who is selfish, cannot enlarge their territories, cannot enlarge their capacity. All right. So this is the first lesson on the shepherd's camp. Remember, I said this is a camp, and so this is a place with temporary accommodation, temporary rules, temporary what do I say? Arrangements. Because when you come here, you see, we don't meet on Saturdays. The reason we are meeting tonight is because here is a camp. In the shepherd's camp, anything is possible. We can do services at 4 a.m. We can do services at 4 p.m. We can do services at 9 p.m. It doesn't matter, because it is a camp. When you are in a camp, you have to be ready for whatever. But it is not permanent. It is temporary. And so you ought to endure for as long as it takes. As long as it takes. Alright, so please, we are done with lesson one. And I don't know if you are excited about it, but if you are excited and you have learned a lot from our first lesson, say something. Diposh Kalabrata. So making the decision. You need to make the decision that even though the Lord has placed the desire in you, you are making the decision to go through the process and to go through the training, to go through the shepherd's camp in order to come out as a good shepherd. Remember, I said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6, if the Bible said, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister or a good shepherd of Jesus Christ. The reason the Bible didn't say a shepherd of Jesus Christ, but the Bible said a good shepherd of Jesus Christ, is because there are two different kinds of shepherds of Jesus. One is the bad shepherd, the other is the good shepherd. And so if you are going to be the good shepherd, then you must go through the process. You must go through this series of lessons to be a good shepherd. God bless you so much. I am your host of this Shepherd's Camp, Vincent Chamartin. I really appreciate your presence here. But I think most people did not join. But please hear me. If you missed two lessons, we cannot continue with you. This is a camp. You have to take time off your usual schedule to be here. We are meeting tomorrow. Tomorrow is Sunday. Yes, I know. I am very busy on Sundays. And yet, please, we are meeting at 8 p.m. tomorrow for lesson number 2. So don't miss out. God bless you so much. Bye-bye.